You give. It hasn't started well.
You give. I looked at my watch straight away. I was seeing how long we're going to take.
Fair enough. Don't. Are you good at giving advice?
Oh,
I think you're really good.
Yeah, some things, but some things, you know, you end up giving you, you know who don't like advice? Who? Wives don't like advice.
No.
No.
Just want to be listened
they
to.
Just want to be listened to, yeah.
Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You're not helping me.
Don't try and solve the problem.
Don't try and fix it. And that's what men do. They try and fix.
Yeah.
And, then sometimes you go, okay, I'm not going to try and fix it. I'll just listen. That's what annoys me. You don't try and fix anything. But I was backstage at a charity event.
Oh.
And there was someone there who didn't perform very much but had to say a few words in front of, I don't know, 300 people or something.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm petrified.
Oh.
And I'm going, okay, here's the opportunity.
Bit of advice from a seasoned performer,
wise old man who's seen it all before, done it all before.
Did you do the, just pretend they're in their underpants. Which is a stupid idea.
And then I thought, okay, something will drop in at the moment. Something will drop in. Nothing came.
No.
I didn't know what to say. I went, oh, you'll be right. And I was just like,
you know what you say, which is what my wife says, and I don't know, she says, will it matter in 5 years' time?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's easy to say it. That's an easy one to say. But
at the time, it does matter.
It does really matter because, you know, you're scared of being, that you're going to make a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate fear that the ego has. I'm reading a bit of Roman philosophy at the moment. No, sure
Roman
whatever.
Philosophy?
Roman philosophy, yeah.
Aristotle? No, he was Greek, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think the Greeks might have come before.
Yeah, the Greeks were before the Romans. Yes.
No, it's a bit of Seneca.
See, I don't know who that is, but
Epictetus. Oh, look, I can't say
some
that.
So you're having a sandwich you don't know? You don't go to a pizza restaurant and my kids go, what's Epictetus, Dad? What's Seneca? I don't know. It's a cheese or a ham. It's always a cheese or a ham. I've learned that over the years with Italian pizza restaurants.
I can't claim to be actually reading philosophy because a lot of people, what they do is they read the philosophy, then they distill it in 2019 and put out a book and go, oh, look, here's some stuff you can do. I'm reading this guy called Ryan Holiday. Anyway,
and he's looked at Roman
He's looked at your Seneca.
But I like someone who does that.
Alain de Botton does the same thing.
Alain de Botton is good.
He's good.
And my favourite one who did the tipping effect and all, you know.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, I like Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, Blink is a great book.
Blink's the best.
Yeah, that's a really good book.
Great book.
It's just you have a blink response. You don't know what you don't know
why.
It's a
gut reaction.
It's a gut reaction.
So the other day when they rang up and they said, do you want to come on Eddie Maguire's Channel 9 telethon and do stand-up? My gut reaction was,
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And nothing against him, but it just sounded like a nightmare.
Cut to me
doing the... Did I ask you? I asked you about it, didn't I? And you said, absolutely. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Then I turned
the fact
on
that
and,
you are,
and you were on.
The fact that you're asking usually is the answer.
Well, I just, you know, I'm quite happy to do stand-up live on a TV show, but on a telethon, I've been on one telethon before, and it was just very scattered in terms of
everyone's looking
attention.
Sideways. Yeah. Everyone's looking sideways. Even the audience are, you know.
Yeah, scattered.
Anyway, Roman philosophy. Their core philosophy is you can't control life, but you can control your response to it.
Oh, and the analogy that's a good one.
And the analogy that they gave. Do you know the difference between an analogy and a metaphor?
No.
Neither do I. But I read something the other day in a book. It said, analogy, he ran like a rabbit. Metaphor, you are the rabbit.
Oh,
just blowing your mind. Anyway, the metaphor.
Not really. Didn't blow my mind. I like the one about the fish last time. The fish, you know, what's the water like? What's water?
Yeah, what's yeah. going on? Cool. I don't know. So you probably had a blink response. You knew that profound, but it was profound, but you didn't know why.
Yeah.
Have you still worked it out?
Yeah, it's about being aware of the environment around you.
Is it?
Or just not realizing where you are. I saw this great comic the other day called Wolfie from WA. Wolfie, Matt.
Right.
Sorry, I forgot. Anyway, he's a very funny man. He's not that well known.
Yeah.
But it's very funny. And he does this routine about who knows that we're not in the dark ages again?
That's right.
He goes, because in the dark ages, we're in the dark ages again. This is great. Let's go watch a witch burning. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
They didn't know they were in the dark ages.
That's right. They didn't know.
That's a very good point.
Same as if aliens were to land, we assume they'll be futuristic and really intelligent. You go, maybe they're about 30 years ago.
Oh, that would be great. They get out and they're like Happy Days cast. They're all in, they look like Chachi.
Yeah,
like,
hey. That's Fonzie over there.
Yeah. Have you heard of rock and roll, dudes? See, we're saying that's 30 years ago, but 30 years ago, that's about 60 years ago.
Yeah, anyway. So here's the metaphor that the Stoics are big on. Life is a cart that travels along, and we're a dog just roped to the cart.
Oh, God. We can't even be the horse pulling the cart.
No.
We're the dog.
We're the dog. You're not in control of where the cart goes, so you can give in to trotting along behind it.
That's not so true. I mean, sure, with sickness and accidents and terrible things that happen,
yes,
that's not so true. But you can sometimes... not everyone can choose their path in life because of if you're born into poverty, for example.
Yep.
Which really annoys me when people go, you just got to, you know, people like Donald Trump, you just got to get and do and work, go to work. Yeah, mate, you were born into privilege, so it's easier for you.
Yep.
But for a lot of middle class people, they can choose a certain life.
I think they're not talking the actual hardware of it. I think they're talking about where you are in your mind.
Whatever.
Yeah, here comes the music. Sorry.
We're just dogs attached to that car. Yeah.
Let's see where it goes.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Welcome to the podcast. Why can't we be the cart?
Anyway. Because the idea is that stuff happens, you can't control it. Mm. Like stuff in life happens all the time.
It's true.
And when you think something's going to be really bad, sometimes it ends up being really good. As I said, what's yin and yang? Good comes out of bad. Bad comes out of good. You can't control it, but you can control your response to it.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not going to get it. Because what we normally do is we get attached to it. I should write a book, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I thought you are writing a book.
Oh, well, you know.
Don't I have your book on my bedside table at the moment? The Glenn Robbins.
Thoughts for the day.
Everything's
derivative.
If not a book, just a calendar that I can rip a page off every day and I can get a little thought from you.
Yeah.
You're just a dog attached to a cart. Oh, that's a good one. I might have the next day. Thank you very much.
The same thing every day. But you're pretty, you know, I you know what? I don't know where this came from, but the term "this too shall pass" is the profound.
That's very good.
You know what I reckon is better than that? And this is the one that I look for. And you often give me this.
Yeah.
Is when I go, oh, blah, 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 problem, problem, problem. And you go, oh, that's fine. I've been through that. Oh, as soon as I hear someone say, it's fine. Yeah, I've been through that. And I go, my shoulders drop and go, it's normal.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I haven't been through that. Are we talking about your divorce? I haven't been through that. My wife's taken everything. I haven't been through that.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, but you can. You know what I mean. You're right, but I think at your age, you've had most things happen to you.
Yes, true.
Most things. You haven't been.
To prison.
You've been in the prison of your own mind.
Yeah, the prison of mind.
All right. Well, somehow related is the program.
Yeah, welcome
podcast. Which is, and we're getting a lot of responses on the feedback.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about, whatever feedback you want to give would be appreciated. Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Let's get our topics.
Yep.
Here we go.
The Russian Navy and Pepsi.
Two of your favorite
things.
You're always going on about
the Russian Navy. The Russian Navy.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with Pepsi, We talked about Coke this the other week. But Pepsi's a whole different thing.
Do you reckon that in most things in life, there is always a Pepsi to the Coke?
Yes.
Like there's Apple and there's Microsoft.
There's the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
There's always an option, isn't
there? Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah. There's always an option. And Pepsi, is it a case with Pepsi where it's always been the poorer sister, you reckon?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we can say that. Whereas with, say, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they're both very good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
you would have to say the Beatles were bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, than the Rolling Stones.
You would just have to be. But you obviously elect your
favorite,
and then you go with that. Pepsi within Australia was softer, wasn't it? As in, it wasn't as profound. Whereas I think in the States, it's
big.
It's big.
Well, I read this somewhere that Pepsi was often perceived as a black person's drink. So they would say in a southern house, you'd have Pepsi at the back and Coke in the front of the house. Pepsi at the back for the servants, Coke in the front for
It's just goes to show, doesn't it? You know, it's all that status stuff, you know. Mm. Oh, you drink Pepsi.
Mm.
As I said before, you know, when we were young, we used to have the local guy making the cola.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Pepsi's got a sharper taste.
So how would you go with a blind testing?
No.
No problem?
No. No problem. I've done it before.
I'm tempted to test. You have done it before?
Yeah, I've done it before. Pepsi, I drink Pepsi Max occasionally. You know, when you go, I went to a restaurant, a pub on Monday, and you go, can I get a Diet Coke? And they go, Pepsi Max okay? You're like, oh, okay. But as, who's this a joke where she goes, I say sorry more times in a restaurant that serves Pepsi.
Yeah.
It's a great joke.
Yeah.
Becky Lucas does that joke. And
nice that you gave her credit.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I also do it, you know.
I had a guy to say to me once, oh, I'm doing your so-and-so routine. It's working really well. I went, it's not.
That's not the done thing. It's not the done thing.
He was
in the
on a bus,
world.
One of those bus guys.
Oh, the bus tour guys. Yeah.
That works really well. It's great.
I went on one of them once and it was horrific. I saw your friend on it, Dave. Yeah, yeah. Dave the Rave.
Yep.
And my other friend Mark was doing one. I jumped on his bus and the guy's like, because for people that don't know, I don't know if they still do it. They had these party buses, mainly for hens nights and bucks nights.
Yep.
And you'd get on as the comedian with a microphone and be the host for the night. And so Husey used to do them. Husey had a great routine about doing them, where you'd get on, you'd have to drive to like some outer suburb, get on the bus with 12 blokes who are having a bucks night, go to all these nightclubs and try and be funny in between. It was a horrible
job. I did a progressive night where I went from restaurant to restaurant doing it. But that one, the one that my friend Dave did, it was hens nights.
Yeah, how many hens nights?
Going to strip clubs and it was just, he tells
some stories.
So Pepsi, Pepsi did it come before Coke or after Coke?
That's a really good question.
I reckon they both started as like something you bought at the chemist.
Yeah, as like
some sort of digestive thing.
That's right.
And they've gone, oh, this is not too bad.
Quite a sharp taste.
Yeah, let's just make it a drink you drink, you know. Because Coke had caffeine in it. I wonder if Pepsi had any, caffeine in it.
Had probably had something in it.
But we have talked about that before. It's got the lemon, would have the nutmeg, would have your cola nut.
Mm.
Yeah, your big ones. And then it'd have a whole whack of sugar.
I used to have like a Pepsi jacket. I've still got it, I think, you know, when I was in the 80s. So we used to go to this shop in Greville Street in Paran in Melbourne, which used to be a very cool street.
Mm.
In fact, when your friends on Big Girls Blouse did a sketch about two young suburban girls coming
down,
they went to Greville Street and Magda, and they try on all the trendy clothes, and Magda gets stuck on a tram track with her new shoes. It's a very funny sketch. I can't remember their names, but they were so good. But they went to Greville Street where there was this very cool record shop where the guy wouldn't speak to you.
One of those where
you go in and go... You know, ask for anything daggy like dragon, you go, I don't have any dragon, man.
That's a good topic. Shops you feel intimidated by. I always feel slightly intimidated in small bookshops.
Oh, yes.
Small ones.
The Genius Bar, you know, it's a Genius Bar.
Just go, I don't know about this stuff. I better come up with a profound author.
I still always remember that great scene in Absolutely Fabulous where she goes into an art gallery and the woman's really snotty and Adina, the main one, goes to her, you work in a shop.
Yeah.
Just leaves. You work in a shop. Anyway, we used to go to this cool clothing shop called Route 66.
And that was cool.
And we couldn't afford to, there was a Pepsi jacket in there.
Yeah.
So like a delivery jacket that the guy used to wear. And it's fantastic. It's got embroidered Pepsi badge from America. And it's got Wigner, that's the name of the guy, Wigner.
Yeah.
And on the back, it's got this huge Pepsi badge, right? Very, very, you know, in those days, very cool. And I remember my mate Mark Levy saying, "Are you going to buy the Pepsi jacket? You should put on lay-by. Put on lay-by.
Which is, you can hold it."
He goes, "I remember just having a discussion with him. He goes, you got to buy the Pepsi jacket. You got to buy it, man. You got to buy it. Like, I don't have money." Just so anyway, I don't know if I put on lay-by, but I bought it
because
it was like $200.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, I wore it to bands and it's pretty cool until I wore it to the Royal Melbourne Show. And I'm standing there at a bar, and this old guy goes, "All right, mate, get the crates around and bring them from your truck." And I went, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, you're the Pepsi guy, aren't you?" I went, "No, I'm not the Pepsi guy." And he goes, and you can see the look on his face. He goes, "But why are you wearing that jacket?" And I said, "Because it's cool." He's like, "Oh."
That's funny because that's like when you go into a chemist, you have to work out if someone's just shopping or they happen to wearing a shirt that looks like they work there, and you go up to people that don't work there and you go, "You know, is this available in a 500, not a 300? I actually don't work here, but it is just over there."
You love it, don't you?
I sent a friend of mine in. I said, because there was he's single and a bit lonely. And I said, "Look, there's an attractive girl that
Chemist Warehouse, get in there.
Works over at that leather jacket shop over there."
Oh, leather jacket shop.
I was in there having a look the other day, and she's really quite attractive. You should go in there. And pretend you're going to buy a jacket.
Yeah.
And just... And you can guess what happened.
He bought a jacket.
He bought a jacket. And did you get to ask her out? No, nothing. She was married. So anyway.
Pepsi.
I'm not a big drinker of the Coke or the Pepsi, but when I do, it's magnificent. Is there now a vanilla?
Magnificent. You like it?
I like it.
Yeah, I've had a Diet Coke with you before, but as you always say, it's black water. It can't be good for you.
Yeah, but you don't think that when you drink it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So if you... Okay, we've talked about this before. Death Row meal. Death Row drink.
Definitely have a Diet Coke. Definitely.
Diet Coke. It wouldn't definitely. Be... If Death Row, get the full Coke.
No, nah, but it's too syrupy for me now. I find it too full on. I want the Diet Coke. I want my chicken schnitzel. I want some chips, a bit of coleslaw.
Would you have ice with...
I love a bit of ice. Love a bit of ice.
So I think a glass... what I don't like is when there's too much ice.
Oh, I know. I said to a guy in a pub, they're like, mate, that's enough ice.
Yeah.
It's enough ice, buddy.
You go, no, no, no. And then they're saving on the fluid by filling up with ice. I know what you're doing.
My mother-in-law, no ice. She goes to the kids. That's why you get more drinks.
Yeah.
Kids.
Smart move.
Tip.
Here's a tip if you're in Bali, though. Here's another Bali tip. Ice. Watch your ice.
Because it may not be from purified water.
Yeah, don't be chewing on your ice. Is there a vanilla Pepsi?
I think there's been, like all those drinks, they've experimented with flavours. There's a mango Diet Coke at the moment. So I'm pretty sure there is
mango Diet Coke.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. I'm too scared to taste it. I know Hamish, friend of yours from Hamish, he was a big fan of vanilla Diet Coke. Because you'd see it occasionally, they bring it back and then they bring it out.
So it's like a connoisseur thing. Occasionally you'd have a run on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the moment, oh, this is embarrassing. At the moment, I'm drinking red wine with a dash of soda.
Yeah.
And
you've told us that.
With lemon in it. The other night, ooh, I put lemon in it.
Lemon, nice.
Oh. Oh.
Really good?
Well, someone else had told me to put a bit of lemon in it. And I thought, no, a bit of lemon.
Nice.
And another tip from a naturopath.
Yeah.
Warm lemon in the morning. Good for your digestion.
It wrecks your teeth, doesn't it?
Uh-oh, does it?
I don't know.
I'm not putting it on my teeth.
Well, I just read that thing every week in the Sunday paper where they go, they do meal for the day or whatever, and then the nutritionist goes through it with you.
And then lemon.
Well, people always say they drink apple cider vinegar.
I drink a bit of that.
And they go, the woman goes, there's no nutritional value in that. That's just something that people
They go in trends, don't they? Because I was drinking it for a while. And they have been drinking for a while. And apparently the one thing it might be good for is cholesterol. And mine went up.
Yeah, see.
See, there you go.
Remember when Michael Jackson did a Pepsi ad and his hair caught on fire? Remember
good
that?
Good reference. Yes. Yeah, that was a Pepsi ad.
And that's why he started taking drugs, he reckons, because he was in so much pain.
Yeah.
From the...
Yeah, it's terrible. I've seen that footage. They've already shown it.
Imagine turning up to do an ad. I mean, you've done ads. You did a Just Jeans ad.
I've done tons of ads. I never had my hair caught on fire.
Yeah, same here. I didn't ad for Schweppes. I don't remember my hair catching on fire.
Have I ever been hurt in an ad? I don't think so. No, I mean, emotionally, I have.
Yeah. After 8 hours and the guy tells you to do it again, you're like, oh, seriously.
What else can we say about Pepsi? I know that what's Coke red and white colouring?
Yeah, Pepsi's got great. Pepsi's logo is a great logo.
Great logo. They're both great logo.
Blue and red.
Does it epitomise the 50s, you think? 50s, 60s?
I reckon it
does. Is it kind of like...
Yeah, they're cool kind of.
Who's that famous actor that from that era? The one that died young?
Oh, James Dean.
James Dean. Is it kind of that? No, maybe not. Mm. But you know the colours of Pepsi are from the American flag.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Red, white and blue. So subconsciously you're going... I'm being patriotic by having this drink.
Wow.
Are you more likely to buy something with an Australian flag on it?
I like Australian made stuff, yeah, for sure.
Why? Because psychologically you're supporting them.
And also...
you trust it?
I don't trust stuff made in China. Like, you know, M&M's. I love M&M's, right? And you can buy this M&M chocolate now, which is a chocolate bar with M&M's in it, made in China. Now, I don't know. I just wonder about the safety regulations in China.
We have a shop at the end of the street that they sell a lot of Chinese products.
Mm.
And I bought the tissues. And you blow your nose on the tissue and it just...
Disappears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't... The one thing you got to do is catch what comes out of your nose.
Yeah.
Not blow a hole in it. So then he goes, don't get those ones. they're no good. No, they're really? Surely they're just a bit of tissue.
Soft and thick. Get the old Kleenex.
You need, you know, yeah, so it's
one that's taken out in pristine rainforest somewhere. Yeah. That's all we need.
Pepsi. Right, well, you'd have to say straight away that it's a luxury product that you would make, because we talked about this before with Coke. Oh, from the other week where they were sending via the Coke distribution line, they were sending in the
diarrhea tablets.
Yeah. Which is, so, it would, okay, let's, before we get to that, Russian Navy.
Russian Navy.
What comes to mind?
Those movies with the Russian Navy in it. You know,
was it Das Boat? That was German.
That
wasn't
was German,
it?
Yeah.
That, God, that was a good film.
Oh, great movie. Das Boot.
I mean, you see a lot of the American. I remember there was a show when I was a kid, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and all the, everyone looked so neat and tidy with their.
In the submarine?
Yeah.
Imagine being in a submarine.
But Das Boot, they were sweaty, there was dirt and filth and
grit.
You could smell it. It was fantastic.
What's the other one? What's the other
Hunt for Red October.
Yes, with Sean Connery.
Yeah, where they're all Russians.
Yeah.
Do they start speaking Russian at the start and then they convert into?
I do find that disconcerting. Like with Chernobyl, the recent TV series.
Yeah.
They just spoke British with a bit of an accent.
You're going, well, I get it because you want it to work for that market. But
then when they had the courtroom scene and he had this great, he put all these, to demonstrate what happened at Chernobyl, the main guy, played by the guy from Mad Men, Harris.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gets up in court and he describes how Chernobyl went down. And he uses like a audio-visual display thing, like an old-fashioned thing. But it's all in Russian.
You're going.
So they've made some concessions, but not, you know.
Yeah, he's going, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you are having it both ways.
And then there's guys like with Manchurian accent. They sound like Manchester or something like that.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the smelter's gone and it's blown up. You know,
well, Sean Connery was the captain in Hunt for Red October.
And people used to make fun of his accent.
And Sam Neill was in it. And Sam Neill had half a crack. But not a great crack.
Yeah.
But half a crack.
Can you do Russian? Russian's hard, I reckon.
If I can hear it.
You'll know.
What do you want?
That's not bad. But you think of those cartoons, don't you?
Yes.
I get some Bosch for you. Mm. You'll come, I kill you.
It's usually a catch word that will. Yeah,
that's true. Mm. You'll come, you'll see Vlad, you'll pick up the stuff from the KGB.
Have him killed.
Have you been to Russia?
No. I always think of Jane Turner.
She does a great Russian accent, doesn't she?
Well, she lived there.
Oh, she lived there?
Yeah, no wonder. I always find I can do accents of places I've spent time, but I can't mimic it off the television.
Why did Jane Turner, and for people, that's Kath from Kath and Kim, why does she live in Russia?
I think her husband, who was a lawyer, he was an ambassador. I think he was. Or some sort of diplomat.
To Russia.
To Russia. Like, she was there for some time. It wasn't like, some people go somewhere for a couple of weeks and go, I lived there. No, you didn't. You were there for a couple of weeks.
You're on holidays.
She
went to Russia. Yeah. My mum and dad have been to Russia.
And dad, I don't have a...
Dad said they were all angry and poor.
Yep.
It was Kev's summary of Russians. Mm. Angry and poor.
Mm. Angry and
I'd love to go. One of my brothers has been, said that Moscow is fantastic. Really interesting.
In terms of history.
Yeah, walking around and the architecture. And he goes, you get the impression from watching TV shows it's just all these big blocks of houses, commission flats. He goes, it's not all like that. He said there's some amazing houses and so it's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2019, so therefore some stuff has come in by now.
Yes.
They can do some stuff.
Very interesting.
So would you be a Navy guy? If you just to say that conscription came back, would you be putting your hand up for the Navy, for the Army?
Air Force.
You'd be an Air Force guy.
My dad was in the Air Force.
My dad was in the Air Force too.
And again, I'm a bit scared of planes and heights. I reckon maybe I'd be Army.
Yeah, but you could be a radio. My dad was a radio mechanic.
Yeah, my dad was an air mechanic. So he was like a fix the engines.
Mm. So
yeah, dads were very practical, unlike us. What have we ever done? They my nephew's just joined the Navy. So I saw him the other day. He's down at Cerebus, which is in Hastings, which is on the Western Port Bay
in Victoria.
So he's from Brisbane. So he had to go through this whole rigmarole to get. He's doing an apprenticeship, basically.
It's good.
Yeah, and he said it's pretty full on though. So we saw him and he's got all his hair cut and the uniform, and it's hilarious. But and he said it's really interesting that you sleep in quarters that are set up like a ship. So the whole thing is made to look like a ship, you're in a ship.
Yeah. Darren Casey, the Sydney comedian, was in the Navy. Was he not?
A cook. in the Navy.
And what was interesting, when he moved to Melbourne for a short period, he got an apartment that was so small. And I went, why? And you basically, it was, everything was, you slept in the one room, lounge room, everything in the one room, and he just had a little bit of a bathroom in the corner. And I went, why would you? And then I went, he's in the Navy. That's what he knows. That's where it feels secure.
Close quarters.
In a tight close quarters.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon the Navy would be pretty full on.
You ever spent time on a ship?
No, I've got the one to Tasmania.
Oh, you got the ferry.
You got the ferry. But no, I've been on some of the container ships just to have a look when we were filming something, and they're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And when I was overseas, I went on a few Navy ships just as the museum exhibits now.
We've all been asked to do the cruises, the comedy cruises.
Yeah, I've never done them.
No. There's a story about, what's his name, Tom Gleason, that he doesn't...
Oh, he gets stuck in the lift.
Yeah.
He got stuck in the lift on a ship, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he climbed out the roof, and there was a little ladder, and he climbed up.
Because he used to try and avoid the main areas because it was a bit sort of...
They get hassled a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got people drinking a lot of alcohol, moving floor, and you're
stuck.
You're stuck. You know, and then you can't. You try to run away, and you fall over.
There are some cruise ships though where you can just do the gig on land, and then you just get off and go home. They have these cruise ships in Brisbane where they just go out. They don't go anywhere. They just go out into the bay or the water.
They go out for a day
and circle.
It's a stop.
Yeah,
and then they're partying, and everyone.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people fall over, and that doesn't get a lot of like 700 a year or something.
Really? Fall off the boat.
Fall off boats around the world, yeah. Because just think about it, how easy is it? You've had a few drinks.
It's dark.
Boots from a room. Whoa, few waves.
Splash.
Hey, let's have a look over the edge. Whoa.
Splash.
Oh, dear. Submarines. Do you get claustrophobia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I reckon I would on a submarine.
Yeah. Mm. What is it? That noise that they always have, is that the sonar?
Oh, yeah, that boom, boom. I mean, you're just like a sitting duck in a submarine, aren't you? It's like...
Don't you reckon? Sitting duck, why?
Well, because you're at least on a boat, you can run up to the deck and jump off and get in a lifeboat.
Boat can't go underwater and go, I'm out of here.
Yeah, true.
Down periscope, we're going down.
Down periscope.
Up periscope, down periscope.
I love the Village People song, remember that?
No.
In the Navy... We can do the seven seas in the Navy. And you know, the Navy started using it as a a recruitment ad, and someone said, it's actually about being gay in the Navy, guys. They're like, oh, what? What do you mean? Yeah, man. I remember seeing the news report on it, the Village People today in hot water.
I do that because sometimes on a radio segment I do in Melbourne, I play in some music. And people say, don't you know what that song's about?
Oh.
You know? Yeah, it's about, might be about suicide or something. You go,
I didn't know that. No one told us.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the lyrics. I reckon I'd be an Air Force guy. I don't think I'd be in the Navy.
I could see you in the Air Force.
The Russian Navy must, is this the Russian Navy we're talking about here? Or is it the Russian, we're talking about, is it Russian Navy?
Yes, the Russian Navy.
Russian Navy, that's what Sam said, the Russian Navy.
Okay.
The Russian Navy and Pepsi.
Who would be who would have the biggest Navy in the world? India, China, Russia,
America, US? I reckon America. Should we ask Sam?
Yeah.
Sam, who is the biggest Navy in the world? Let's have a guess. I would say...
I'll go China.
I go Switzerland. It's a joke because they're a landlocked country.
They can still...
They got a lake. They got Lake Geneva. Well, so who makes that joke about, you know, in Sound of Music, the dad goes away because he's in the Austrian Navy. Again, I think they're a landlocked country. I'm going to say America. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say China.
Sorry, Glenn. Apparently, North Korea has the biggest navy in the world by number of vessels.
Russia must be up there, though.
Sam, could you just give us a bit more information?
China is second largest and America is third if you count it by number of vessels in their navies. Though the US is by far the most powerful navy, it has over 300,000 active personnel with another 100,000 in reserve. It can deploy over 3,700 aircraft, and the fifth largest navy by number of ships is Russia.
Russia?
Well, that's still pretty big. It's a huge navy, really.
It's still pretty big. I would have thought bigger, but anyway, this goes to show. And where would their where would they be having their ships?
Well, they've got a lot of ocean, haven't they? They've got a bit of ocean. The Russians
just all be not much happening up that way. Though,
the Black Sea and all that. I don't know.
Up there, you know.
Yeah, up right at the top, and all the. Oh, you know, I was reading the other day. My partner got me a National Geographic subscription.
Well, that's good.
Which is, I'm not really. I'm not into wildlife that much. I like it, but I don't watch documentaries.
No,
like,
nor do I.
No, I'm more interested in people and stuff. But I'm interested in how the world's changing, and there's a lot of activity up in the Arctic. A lot of Russian activity up there.
In terms of what?
Well, see, now you can get boats through there now because of global warming. You never used to be able to get a boat across there. Now you get boats up there. So the Russians are up there.
Oh.
They're the big. They're staking claims.
Having a poke around, going, I'll have a bit of that. Now there's no ice on it.
A lot of Russian Navy stuff going on up there. So that's where a lot of Russian Navy activity is. All right, well, I don't know what else we can say about the Russian Navy.
But it's obviously something. Look. I've got something that it's stupid that I'll have a crack at. I was thinking about thinking music. What do you reckon for thinking music?
Well, I'd love to hear the Village People's in the Navy, but we probably can't play that because it's a
would
song.
We be allowed to hear the theme from Hunt from Red October? And I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I reckon if I'm right, it's a Russian choir.
Oh, I think you're right.
And we all love a choir.
We love a Russian choir.
And a Russian choir. We don't have to hear a lot of it. We don't want people, you know, getting... But the theme from Hunt for Red October, and then I want you to imagine Sean Connery sitting up on the... I remember him sort of going up a river or something.
Almost yes.
Like, yeah, I can't remember the plot.
No, I can't remember
it. The world was going to end, wasn't it?
Some submarines. Yeah, nuclear. It was nuclear.
Yeah, and it was all going to happen. And then there was, you know, hit battle stations and everything.
Let's hear a bit of that. Glenn, have a crack. What is the answer?
Okay, this is just ridiculous. But yeah. I reckon the Russian Navy were the first to... You couldn't get Pepsi in Russia. And the only way they could get it back was to bring it back via submarine. I mean, that's kind of very obvious, isn't it?
Well, I was just going to go with... Pepsi saw Russia as a market where Coke hadn't got into yet, and they got in with the Navy and gave them free samples, free drinks, because they knew that because they're such a big employer, the Navy would spread the word of Pepsi.
Yes.
Spread the word of Pepsi.
That's good. Anyway.
Should we get the answer?
Yep.
A trade deal between the Soviet Union and PepsiCo that was formed in the 70s was about to expire in 1989, and a new $3 billion deal was agreed on so that Pepsi would be continued to be sold in the Soviet Union. In the past, the Soviet Union had paid for the cola syrup from Pepsi with vodka but couldn't afford the new contract this time round, but it did have plenty of military equipment. The Soviet Union traded PepsiCo 17 submarines, a cruiser, a frigate and a destroyer for the Pepsi syrup. The acquisition of those submarines made PepsiCo, at least for a few days, the sixth largest military power in the world by number of its diesel submarines. The vessels were then quickly sold to a Swedish company for recycling. Check out the show notes for more links to the answer.
Wow! Yeah, it's a tripping thing, isn't it?
So let me get this straight. They wanted it, but they couldn't pay for it.
Mm.
But they said, tell you what we can do. We'll give you some submarines in payment for the Pepsi. Yeah. Yes. And they took it. And then for a moment, they had a big
fleet, the Pepsi fleet.
A Pepsi
fleet. Fantastic. That's a great fact. And then they sold it to a Swedish recycling
scrap model. Metal.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
There you go. I mean, everyone's happy. They're getting their Pepsi.
Imagine ringing that guy at the Swedish cash a can place. Hello, Swedish cash a can. Hello, we have, that would be an American guy. Yeah. Hey, man, look, we got some scrap metal for you. We got some submarines. You interested? think they'd be able to sell them to like a third world country, wouldn't you? Like if it's a good submarine,
you'd think. But what are they going to get from them?
Well,
money, cash.
Yeah. Like if you sell it to like Iran or Iraq,
do they really want to?
Who wants to buy a Russian submarine?
But maybe it just comes back to.
Couldn't they sell it? You know, in Australia, occasionally you see a submarine in a park. There's one on the way to Sydney. There's a submarine in a park.
Well, look, I have been on a submarine up at Hayman Island.
Oh, is that a real submarine?
It's the worst gig I ever did in my life.
Oh, that's right. You've talked about this.
Yeah.
And there's one at Caribbean Gardens here, which is like used to be a theme park in Melbourne. And it was positioned next to the lake. And you'd get in. They go, oh, we're going down now. And they just spray water on the windows to pretend you're submerging.
It's like the Titanic Theatre restaurant.
Yes.
Where the windows, they put the windows fill up with water.
So the submarine was actually a submarine you went on? Was it actually a submarine?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just a bit of boat. Well, it was a submarine. It went below. I don't think did it move?
It may not have moved.
I don't know whether it, I think, no, I don't think it moved. It was horrible. It was hot, horrible, small, unfunny, unfunny meaning me, and just the worst gig.
And that's where scuba divers were pretending to eat dinner.
That's right. That's right. There was a performance piece where people scuba dressed as scuba. They were scuba dive, but they had dinner jackets on.
I love it.
And they were at a table pretending to eat a meal. You're going, oh, and then were fish swimming around. Anyway.
Idea. That's an example of a great idea at the time. You know, some advertising guy, ideas man, would have come up with that and gone, this is going to be a great, we're going to get that Glenn Robbins guy.
Mm.
You're going to have dinner in a submarine and you're going to look out the window and see people having dinner in a scuba gear.
I did say to one of the guys, I said, how is the water? And he said, what's water?
Ah,
Call back. Call back. Ding, ding, ding. Gold for that one.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.